This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 29th, WGN show. We started around 11:30 Central. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
The Lunatic Fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Thursday night, almost Friday morning, February 29th. It is live. Apologies for last night. I didn't expect I wouldn't be here, but yeah, I'll tell you, about a half hour before the show, maybe 45 minutes before the show, John said, "I don't think you are doing the show." I said, "Of course I'm doing the show." He says, "No, you don't understand. You're not doing the show." And I understood that, actually, in the long run. So yeah, reaction to something, and I'm seemingly better tonight. And hopefully, I have plenty planned for tonight. I'll tell you what, though. The one thing I forgot was there was a ball game. Yeah, I should have just luxuriated and relished in that knowledge, but instead I had all sorts of things to talk about. Well, we still can, as far as that goes, but I made the mistake. I'm almost tongue-tied over it. During my hour and a half waiting to decide, all right, well, I'll just do a few things on this laptop. I got another laptop, and, you know, they don't last long with me because, you know, obviously throwing them against the wall doesn't help their longevity. But be that as it may, I'm a Mac girl for most everything. Of course, I love the days when Mac was really simple and you used to have total control of every aspect of it. Now, of course, they're hiding more things than they're not. But what got me tonight was that, and of course, when you buy a new laptop, you're stuck with the latest operating system, and it's not easy to go backwards. And there are some reasons you wouldn't want to, although, hey, I dream of going back to OS 9. But be that as it may, I'm stuck with what I got. And here I am. I'm printing documents, and under normal conditions, you just, if you've sent one to the wrong printer, you just, you know, drag the file to the other printer queue, and you're absolutely fine. Been doing this for years. Not anymore. So I look online and find out I'm not alone. Yeah, there are there are hundreds of people as upset as I am. And for the life of me, I don't understand. And it's not just my own computer use. I see this all the time when, say, a utility is going to update their website. Why do these people insist on going from bad to worse? You know, they have some features that you really like, and for some reason, those are the ones they attack. Now, it could be argued that, well, you don't know what else has been, you know, added or not added based on what you're not using. But for the most part, I find that the simple little things that have worked well for eons now, computer-wise, basically we'll say a decade and a half in reality, but just gone. And I don't know if that's gotten to you as well, but boy, I tell you what, I think computers are the greatest time savers and the greatest time wasters simultaneously, because all the things we can do in the digital world makes things possible that weren't even dreamable 30, 40 years ago. But that said, the amount of time it takes every time someone makes a change, oh, we're just updating some of the settings, yeah, and sometimes it goes very wrong, as AT&T can attest last week. But and other times, though, you're just you're seemingly alone and in hell. But if you feel lonely while you're going through that, do a search online, and invariably you'll find out that there are legions of people suffering the same fate as you. So 888-876-5593. We can talk about that or whatever else is on your mind. I plan to talk about call letters with Barry from New Hampshire, but I think think that he's gone to sleep. So we'll maybe not, but I'm guessing. So I will tell you that we've got slime from the checkout line. That's right. The tabloids have arrived. Yeah. King Charles bets his life on quack cancer cures. Well, I don't know. Considering the stats on the quote-unquote non-quack cures, I'm not sure this is necessarily a bad thing. So we'll take a look at that maybe and whatever else is on your mind. But right now, without further ado, I know you were waiting all the way through the game, maybe all day long because you wanted to hear it. So here you go. It is time for Walter's Perspective, brought to you by HearingHealthCenter.com. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's one of the positive things about CDs is when they ran out of hits, they started to look through the vaults, and occasionally they'd come up with something that was recorded but never released, and that was the case on this one by the Five Discs. Yeah, it was a Brooklyn doo-wop group, and You Belong to Me. And so if you're looking for the original release, well, it wasn't, but you'll find it on a variety of CDs since like the best of the five discs and things like that, all sorts of stuff. So that was one that Jimmy P wanted to hear. We have two more of his to play. He gave me a six-pack, and we didn't finish them. I thought we would last night, but of course I thought a lot of things last night. All right, so, oh, good. Plenty of people to talk to, and I can't wait to talk to all of you. And right now we get to meet Alex. Alex is a first-time caller, and he's in Swarthmore. So, Alex, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, when it gets cold like it does, yeah, the signal from WGN just booms right in.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, and right next to WOR, too, so you want to make sure how you turn in that radio.
Well, I'll tell you, you're louder than OR tonight.
All right, I'll take it. I'll bask in the glory.
And that song you were playing reminds me of the old days. Your Chicago people wouldn't know High Lit, but that's the sound that he used to play.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Joe Niagara, too, back in the day. And, of course, everybody remembers Jerry Blavitt. But not as many people remember Ron Diamond, who was on Wi-Fi. And I thought the Diamond Mine had some of the best soul in Philadelphia.
You know, Ron Diamond was one of those low-profile jocks on the low-powered FMs back when everybody had an AM.
Right. Exactly.
And that was his edge. He was always trying to find songs that no one else would play, but that had a cool sound you could dance to.
Yeah, and he did.
And what ended up happening was he moved on to, I believe he's in Hawaii today. He's still around.
Oh, I know he's around. I thought he was still in California. But yeah, I remember he had, for a while, he owned KOME in San Jose, the cum spot on your dial, and did well with that, and then got into some other ventures that were profitable.
Yeah, you don't hear that name anymore. He had a lot of dance. See, if people in Chicago don't know, all the DJs used to host dances, and they make a fortune with these dances, charging $1 admission.
Oh, of course. And, you know, a lot of markets were like that. Chicago in the 50s to a lesser degree, although Jim Lonsberry had a great televised dance show. But, you know, the Buffaloes of the world, the Clevelands, the Pittsburghs, you made more money in your gigs than you ever did on the air.
They made a lot of money. I know Blavitt was, for everybody in Chicago that doesn't know Jerry Blavitt, he used to have a helicopter that used to bring him from gig to gig.
That's and the 60s, that's absolutely right. Now, I had him on for an hour or so a couple of years ago, and if I realized we were not going to hear from him anymore, I probably would have updated that more recently. So,
That's a rich history, that is.
Yeah.
Question for you about being a senior citizen and finding work. I've been having problems. Can I bounce this off you?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Social Security is just not paying the bills, and I'm in a kind of like had a shortfall, so I was looking for some cash flow, and I went out thinking that I could fill out some paper applications, and no one accepts them anymore, and I don't know how to go online and do this stuff, so I hired an IT person who could meet me at the library to fill out an electronic application and send it to one of these corporations. And boy, did I, when I got hit with the bill at the end of that session, she charged me $80.
Oh, geez. Don't you have a grandkid or a friend who's got a grandkid?
No, I took care of my mom for 20 years. When she passed away in 2019, I was left alone here.
Yeah, you know, because kids could do this, you know, as a freebie off the top of their heads if you knew one. You know, in terms of somebody to help you with IT, it's usually word of mouth. Now, I don't know if there are any schools that are training kids, because you might talk to somebody who's doing that and see whether as a school project you couldn't get some kids to help you. But
you mean like at a local community college?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an idea. That's why I thought I could bounce this idea off you. You would come up with something.
Even some of the high schools. But I'll tell you, when you're talking about major corporations, you fill out an application online and the first round is never seen by a person. It's AI that rejects like 80% of it. There's like three rounds before a human being is going to set up an appointment. So depending on what you're applying for, it's almost a waste of time. I hate to say that, but it can be true. So what you really would want to do is try to research what these companies are that you're applying for and what they're looking for in the workforce, so that you would be able to, you know, hit the magic buzzwords, keywords that they would respond to, and you'd get a live person.
Well, I'd get a lot of laughs when I would tell you this, not because of my age or anything, but there are a lot of what they call state liquor stores in Pennsylvania, not privately owned, but owned by the state.
Absolutely.
And nobody outside of Pennsylvania knows that, but Pennsylvania brings in an enormous amount of revenue owning all the liquor stores in the state.
It gets even weirder because Pennsylvania, I know a lot of states that, you know, have the ABC, the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and they own it all, like North Carolina. But Pennsylvania has something I never saw anywhere else, and that's that beer and wine was sold separately from hard liquor.
Always. They've always separated it.
Yeah, it's just insanity. And John came in and said, you know, if they have a senior center, you might try that too. I didn't think about that, but, you know, we own some radio stations in smaller markets that have senior community centers. And now that I think about it, every one of them offers IT help to seniors.
Does that sound normal that someone would charge you $80 for something like that?
Well, how much time did they spend?
Well, the first hour, she couldn't even navigate through my email. There was some kind of problem with her trying to figure out my email, and there was a big snafu there. So an hour was wasted.
Yeah.
Then we went on to the second hour where everything seemed to go smoothly. But I think she was basing that on a $40 an hour charge.
Well, that's pretty high, I would think. Again, for something this simple. And like I say, if you had, you know, even kids in the neighborhood, they'd probably just do it for you. So, but as far as a working IT professional, well, yeah, $40 an hour. But that doesn't mean filling out an online application usually, especially if the first time she's wandering around not knowing how to do it.
Well, a lot of us seniors, we don't know how, because we fell behind naturally. I was always at home taking care of my mom, so I couldn't stay up all those years with the technology boom, and I fell behind. It's kind of embarrassing. It's almost like you don't want to admit it to somebody.
Well, you're absolutely not alone. The biggest problem online is the amount of scams that are out there, and I worry more about that than anything. You don't want to fall victim to anything that sounds suspicious. You know, like there's a ton of really good work from home opportunities, but for everyone that's legit, there's probably 10 that aren't. And, you know, if they're asking you to pay money, run, you know, that kind of thing. If it seems too good to be true, they tell you you'll be making $100,000 a year in your part time, run. If you can't figure out who the company is, run. If you can't, you know, all those kind of things. So I would say, more than deciding how to, you know, fill out an application online, first school yourself in what may be a scam.
Raleigh, we miss you here in Philly. We love you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, give me a call back, and I want to know how it's going. And if you got any specifics, don't hesitate to run them by me. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Will do.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Yeah, it's a tough one. And, man, the scams are out there to such a degree, and it's so easy to fall victim, especially to some of the email scams. So, yeah, be afraid as far as that goes. But that's not to say don't act. Just be a little afraid. Next hour, we're going to do call letters with Barry. He called from New Hampshire. All right. Don from Beloit has a question about Winnipeg radio. I got about a minute and a half to answer it, so go.
You're awfully glad you're back, right?
Thank you.
Raleigh, how you doing?
All right.
You're feeling pretty bad, yes.
Yeah, you're right. Well, let's just move directly on. So,
we're all glad to hear from
thanks.
You.
Thanks. What about Winnipeg Radio?
Well, you name dropped Chuck Riley, the voice actor, and of course he got his start there.
No,
and,
he didn't.
He's
no,
just
he didn't.
So famous.
No, he didn't. He did work there. He worked at CKY 550 as Chuck Dan, but he was working long before that. In fact, he did news at Coma in Oklahoma for a few years before that. He was also in Fargo before that. But yeah, he went to CKY, loved it, 550.
I thought it was early in his career, but yeah.
Well, really, and you know, then from there, I think to Cleveland, you know, KYC, and then of course WIBC, and stayed there for years. But yeah, Chuck Dan at CKY.
Well, I, you and I have talked so much about Chum and Chum FM and Chum 1050 AM, and wow, he was so famous for Chum's.
Oh yeah,
well,
Rock and roll. Yes, he voiced all of them, and I loved it when he went because he'd always bring me T-shirts when he came back. And anyway, you've ended the hour. I'll talk to you soon. I've still got the shirts. Okay, bye. So yeah, we'll pick it up there with call letters and more and all that and news right now. News actually on WGN Radio.
My darling, always.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Don Julian and the Meadowlarks, 1955 on Dutone. Yeah, and that is Always and Always. And that was another one that Jimmy P. wanted to hear, and a fine choice it is. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We're going to talk call letters. Barry in New Hampshire. How's it going, Barry? Are you with us, Barry? Have we lost Barry? I don't know what to think about this. Well, I think that I'll talk to Leo in our echocardiogram, but Barry, call me back if you like. Hello, Leah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you're back and feeling better, Raleigh.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't think it was as bad as it was, but John made the call and he was probably right.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad you guys watch out for each other. That's what Albert and I do, too. For Alex and Swarthmore, I wanted to suggest something else, too. The high schools around here all have classes for seniors in computers.
Really?
And they send out newsletters. If you pay school taxes around here, you usually get something from like in Swarthmore, it would be Swarthmore School District, and where I used to live in Wallingford, it was Nether Providence School District. And if you pay school taxes, then you get the newsletter every, like, we get one in the spring and you get one in the fall and you get one in the summer. They have different sessions every season.
And I
and
think
you get one.
I think that there was a bunch of court battles, and now Swarthmore, Rutledge, and Nether Providence were, in as of 1971, joined together. So it's Wallingford Swarthmore School District.
Right, it's Wallingford Swarthmore School District.
Yep,
he should look for that in the mail, and if he doesn't get one, he should call and ask for one.
That's a great idea.
And they will have a course. They all have courses for seniors in computers.
Good. I like it.
So I would think that would be the cheapest way for him to go.
Well, that
because
and
there's really no senior centers around here.
Really?
Delaware County has the worst social services of all the counties in Pennsylvania. And I even confirmed that with a social worker once. She said, yes, it is true. They have the worst. Delaware County has the worst social services.
And that would be true how about local libraries? Same deal?
Yes, same deal. I mean, the libraries have computers, but they don't have anyone there to help you.
Yeah. See, that's one of the advantages of small towns. They all band together and offer all sorts of things like that.
Oh, I know. When I lived in Beloit in the 80s, mm-hmm. I was able to rent to take home a typewriter and teach myself how to type.
Yeah.
I mean, that was even before computers,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I was able to do so much there. I mean, I was able to do my own divorce, no-fault divorce, on the typewriter that I borrowed at home. I mean, you know, it was so easy. All I did was go to the law library and get a form, you know, copy a form of what a no-fault divorce looked like. And then I took it home, and then I just inserted our names into the spaces of, you know, I typed up the form, and I copied everything from that. And it was just so easy. They made it so easy back then.
Yeah.
In a small town, like you said.
Yeah.
But around here, yeah, they have the worst social services.
I'm sorry
to hear
that.
You can't get anything done.
But I bet you the schools will help.
I think the high school is the way for him to go.
Yeah. Maybe Strath. Okay, that's good. All right.
And I had my echo.
Okay, and how was it?
And thank you for saying it was easy, because it was. Mm-hmm. I was still nervous. I was worried that I didn't know what kind of test it was. So I was worried it was going to be like an MRI where I had to go in the big machine or something.
No. You just have to walk on a treadmill.
No. It's just like an ultrasound.
Okay, you did it that way. All right. Well, that's right. That's
so
not
was
a stress
so easy.
Echo. Well, they may give you a stress echo, and if you do that, you will walk on the treadmill. And they could.
No, they won't.
Why? Because
she said I don't need one.
Oh, so all's good. It looks good.
Yeah, she said, she even told me, she said she doesn't think I'll even need to go on medication or anything. She said, I don't have any fat around my heart. I don't have any plaque.
Good.
She said it looked really good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent news. So now nothing to worry about.
Yeah. So it looked really good.
Good.
So I'm not, you know, I didn't hear from my doctor yet. That's not the official thing. But she, as far as looking at the thing, that's what she said it was a really clear picture, and it looked really good as far as she could tell.
Good.
So that was the other thing. And I saw a really good show tonight on PBS called Love Train, The Sound of Philadelphia. Oh, my God, it was so good. Jerry Butler was in it and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
It was so good. They had the OJs. They had the Temptations. They had, I know a lot of them are not the original members, mm-hmm. but they had Stylistics. And they had a Gamble and Huff were like in the front row, And
is this the same Love Train that came out in 2009?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had never seen it, though.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
Well, good.
And, oh my God, it was so good. Did you enjoy it?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. If anyone wants, should watch it if it comes on or if they can stream it, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, well, it's also available, I think, on DVD. You can buy the thing. It's not not expensive.
Yeah, but not through PBS.
Well,
I mean,
now I'll tell you.
PBS,
No, but there are things they do occasionally, as you know, for their fund drives, for their pledges and all that, where sometimes you can wind up getting it, but probably you'd be paying them more than you would Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah, right. They wanted like $180
or something. Right. Yeah, so...
I mean, if you want to support PBS, go ahead, you know, and do it, but...
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, yeah, you can probably get it on Amazon for cheap,
Yeah.
But you can.
Well, not too cheap, actually, because at this point in time, 10 years ago you could have, but at this point in time there aren't that many copies, so it's a little pricey right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd say you could... Oh, man. I don't know as far as video. The audio CD is more expensive than the video, I think. But anyway.
Oh, really? Because I was going to get the audio CD.
Look
for the audio.
Well, right now that audio CD is going to run you about $114.
Really?
I'm not making this up.
Holy Moses.
Well,
that's expensive.
It's a box set, as you know, and it has... 4 discs, about 17, 18 cuts on each of them. So it's a lot of songs.
Oh, wow. Maybe I can get it on eBay cheaper.
Probably. Or just wait.
A used copy.
Yeah, well, the prices I was quoting you are used. It all would be used because they're not pressing them now. But if you're patient, just about everything, occasionally someone will list one. It'll be really affordable, and you'll say, hey, I'll get that now. You know, I don't think there's anything on it that I don't have on 45. So, it didn't thrill me to, that I had to have it or anything, but when it came out, but, it's a nice collection. It's got some interesting things.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to have that. But, we get a lot of stuff on eBay. We get, vinyl. We get a lot of vinyl and a lot of CDs on eBay. Used, and we have pretty good luck on eBay.
I mean
the vinyl especially comes nice. We always check the description and the pictures and everything real careful,
and if we have
a lot of people we buy from over and over again,
Right. And if it's not what you want, especially if you use PayPal to pay, you get your money back, no question asked.
Oh, right,
There's no real risk in it. No, John buys an awful lot of comics. He used to sell, too, but he disappointed more of a buyer. But it's so funny because, of course, I have all the albums, but they're in just horrendous shape, don't you know? I use them as coasters or dinner plates, for that matter. And so I don't like the quality of that. I have to buy it new. And so he does, and, he'll get this crystal clear copy of something that I don't even like that I've got 3 copies of, but they're not up to his standards, don't you know? And I'll be looking at these prime, like, what? So I don't know what to say, but yeah.
Now he collects picture discs too, doesn't he?
Oh, we are absolutely the, it's not so much picture discs, but it is the laser disc capital of America. Yeah.
A laser disc. Is there a difference between picture disc and laser disc?
Yeah. There are. Laser discs are just movies on lasers, on a disc.
Oh, on a small disc.
No, it's not that small, but not huge, but about the size of an album.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I call it picture disc. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I probably should call it laser disc. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
I might have some for him.
Well, he might not have what you've got, so maybe he'd like them. I don't know, but he's got hundreds and hundreds of them.
If someone gave us some, and we don't want them, so.
Oh.
Okay, but we have no room for them, is what the deal is.
Well,
the
other thing is you have to have a laser disc, a player, so.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Which we don't have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, interesting. All right. Well, good. I'm so glad it worked out for the Echo, and I knew it would be nothing, and it sounds like full steam ahead. All is good.
It does. Thank you for easing my mind.
Oh, too. Absolutely.
Thank you. I
absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. Well,
and
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. 888-876-5593. Barry called back. We will get to call letters on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Bop Chords. Yeah, fine New York doo-wop on the Holiday label, and better known for Castles in the Sky, but I always thought When I Woke Up in Love This Morning was a fine record on Holiday, 1957, and Jimmy P had the good taste to ask for that. And like I was saying the other night, I know that every time Jimmy P requests a great doo-wop, Scotty is listening from above. I'm confident of that. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and that is going to take us to Barry, who I think has called back. Barry, how are you?
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I had phone problems.
Ah.
So that's what happened.
Well.
It's about the call letters. I know that, like, west of the western states have a K and east have the W. They start with W.
Well, yeah, we have something in America. We actually have a government bureau, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, the NTIA, that is in charge of this. And, of course, the call letters for radio and television are issued by the Federal Communications Commission. But it is the NTIA that is in charge. Now, remember, there has to be an international agreement, too, because all the countries in the world have to get together and agree. And but first, yeah, in America, and of course, nobody really started, well, nobody really licensed a radio station until 1912. So the early days were truly the Wild West, even in the East. And the interesting thing is that most transmitters, no matter what their use is, are regulated and have call signs of some form. But for most listeners, they know about AM, they know about FM, they know about TV. That's really about it. It's fascinating what the rules are and what you get. And yes, originally, the difference between K and W, and there was one. There wasn't actually when it going way back when there wasn't even a K. There was a W and there was an N. And it was in 1912, I believe. And then 21 was when community of license, if it was West or W in the East. But originally, it wasn't the Mississippi, which it later became. It was the border between Texas and New Mexico. That was the original boundary line. And in 1923, they moved it to the Mississippi River to try and better balance populations. So again, it's K and W are only for radio and television. station. It wouldn't apply for weather radio or highway advisory radio or STLs or translators or things like that. Now, as far as our possessions, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands are east of the Mississippi, so that's all W. But Guam, Marianas, American Samoa, they're west, so they are primarily Ks, although there is one W in America Samoa. It received a call sign way, way back. And yes, they will grant waivers, because remember, when we're talking about the early days before the Mississippi was used, you would have things like you'd have WBAP in Fort Worth, and you'd have WDAF in Kansas City, or WNAX in Yankton, South Dakota. Same deal, you know, you'd wind up having things like KDKA in Pittsburgh, and KYW, both Philadelphia and Cleveland, depending upon the years you're looking at. So it's not 100% rigidly followed, but originally it was three calls, and that's why those three call letters, you know, people look at that like the WGNs, as well they should, with reverence, because when they started in 1921, most broadcast stations were three-letter calls. Of course, you know, before the 20s were over, they had to go to fours. I think the last three to ever be granted was WIS in Columbia, South Carolina. So, you know, in some cases, you wind up having a station where, man, those call letters have been there from day one. In other stations, you know, other frequencies and stuff, you find out, I've had over a dozen set of call letters, you know, so that happens. But interesting to look at it worldwide as well.
Yeah, like I said, WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper.
Right. Well,
WBZ was...
What I was going to say is they could decide. Originally, they were just assigned, but then yes, you could select call letters, and if they were available, they'd grant them. There used to be a real prohibition on buying them, and I remember years ago Robert Rounsville wanted to. When he was creating the 790 frequency in Miami, wanted WFUN, and the calls were in Alabama at the time. And so he couldn't buy them directly, but what the guy did was sold him something like 100 auditorium chairs and then gave him the exact minute that he was relinquishing the calls to the FCC. So there was that little workaround as well. So that happens. But as far as what they stand for, you know, a lot of people say, oh, WBT, it stands for Watch Buick Travel. Well, yeah, except the Buick dealer, who we'll all hate forever because he's the guy who sold off half that 1A frequency to KFAB in Omaha because he didn't think he needed to sell Buicks too far west. So now at night, 11:10 in Charlotte barely covers Gastonia, but I digress. But everybody said, well, let's watch Buick Travel. The Buick dealer actually bought it with the call letters. He later claimed it stood for that. So there's no real thing like what do they stand for. It's whatever they want to claim they stand for.
Well, I thought like WBZ was Westinghouse Broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly. They want to call it that, and that's fine. I don't know whether WBZ was assigned. It might have been, or whether or not that was selected. But, you know, I'm sure somebody said, oh, Westinghouse Broadcasting, that's good. All right. It can be whatever you want it to. So, yeah, WGN, World's Greatest Newspaper. Now, ships are licensed as well. And when the woman who owned King, wasn't King when she bought, wanted the call letters, and she bought them from a ship in the 40s, I think. And so that's how she got King, because Seattle's in King County. So sure. So John say, oh, the news. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll pick it up right there. Coming up in moments on WGN Radio.
Until then. And I know that my aching heart until you let me take you in my arms and give my love to you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So you think nothing good ever came out of San Bernardino? Well, you didn't know the Pentagons. Yeah, they were just terrific and had a number of things I think most people think of, I wonder. But Until Then was just a great song of theirs, I thought, anyway, on Jamie in 1962. And Carol had reminded me how much Stephanie likes the Pentagon, so you didn't have to twist my arm for that. Yeah, I got another one of those coming up. All right, so we're talking about call letters with Barry in New Hampshire. And yeah, it's to me, it's more interesting worldwide because it isn't as cut and dried. You know, like Canada has some of the C's, but not all, you know, things like that. Or Mexico, if it's AM, it's XA, it's XE. Or if it's FM, it's XH. So for many countries, it's the combination of the first two calls.
Yeah, like I said, WBZ, I guess originally when it was, what came out was WBZE, I believe.
Oh, back in the day? I don't think so.
Oh, really? Because I...
It could have been, but see, they go back so far that I would think that they were a three call from day one, because, you know, they signed on back before the AM band was as it was. Everything was meters. You know, they signed on at 833 kilohertz, and they were on that in 1921, and then 750 and 710 and 790 and 890 and all that kind of stuff. So long things before 1030. And then, of course, in 41, when everything was changed and standardized, they went to the 1030. But I would have to look that up. I find that hard to believe that that BZ started with that. I believe that they randomly assigned got that. And it would have originally been on 800, and the meters would have been 375 at the time, and then it was 360 meters, which is the 833 kilohertz. But I'm almost positive. Now, the deal is that it wasn't licensed to Boston. This station was originally licensed to Springfield.
So, right, I remember, yeah, they just had their big anniversary last year or the year before.
Right, so it's like, I think it was East Springfield, Massachusetts was the city of license for that. And they had an experimental station, and that's another set of calls and stuff like that. So you get a lot of that. But I think that that was WBZ in Springfield. I don't think there was ever anything after that in those days. It was WBZ, and they just got it by chance.
Yeah, I remember having an antique radio growing up, and they had, like, with the tubes in it, and they had the pre-programmed buttons on it, and it had WBZ on it, like, you know, for the to
well,
select.
That was probably after 1941. Because the frequency, okay. the frequencies were different before that. So if you were able to select that button and hear WBZ where it is today, then that radio was made 1941 or later.
Okay.
But
and I know, like, other radio stations like Kurt Gowdy had CG in initials,
oh, yeah,
or stations,
right,
that he...
Right. Well, yeah, you can do that. At first, they were all assigned back in the day when BZ. Now, you may be confusing it because there was they had a station, one about 250 watts, Westinghouse did, in Boston. They had WBZA, and that back then was on 1240. And they were trying to make that a synchronous repeater, you know, and that not because of the FCC, just because the technology at the time was not easy for them. The two transmitters interfered with each other. But so WBZA was a factor, but I don't know about WBZE. I'm unaware of it.
Okay.
But BZA.
And like Chicago has WLS.
Well, yeah, and people said world's largest store and all that. Yeah, you could, you know, many people picked call letters for something like that. And many people took callers they had and used it in a way that would work for them, of course. You know, like KOA, the king of agriculture, you know, things like that.
Oh, okay.
And that was KFI was farm information. So a lot of people, you know, took the callers they gave and you know, identified it in some way. And then, you know, like later when you could specify your own if they were available, some people picked call letters for specific reasons. But, you know, okay. What you really want to do, and, you know, interesting, call letters have sort of gone the way of the dodo bird in many, many ways, because most stations don't identify themselves by their call letters. They're more likely to identify themselves by their dial position and some type of a handle. You know, we're hot 105.3, or, you know, we're cool 105.3, that kind of thing. So, you know, sometimes the call letters, the only time you're going to hear them, are at the top of the hour. And then, of course, if translators are involved, they don't work the same way.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the story. But if you're interested in what call letters stood for, what I've got a whole list of what everybody stood for back in the day, if you're ever interested in that. But like I say, that was unofficial.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And some of them are funny. You know, and then what can I say? And some of them last to this day.
Yep.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks, Barry. I appreciate the call.
All right. Okay, Brian. Right. So, glad to get you back.
Thanks. So, yeah, I find it more interesting internationally to look at that. Certainly there have been fine examples. Oh, years ago, the FCC would deny you the right to use a call letter if they found it offensive. They don't do that anymore. Yeah, they'll pretty much let you have it and let the courts work it out. But I don't know too many people who are, you know, again, trying for that, because how many people usually position their station by their four-letter calls? I know when I was a kid first interested in radio, I knew every call. Not the frequencies, mind you, but that came later. But initially, oh, I knew every call and where it was. But then later, the frequencies. But yeah, some stations, they changed their call letters, you know, 8 times in as many years. So it was not happen too often, and it was somewhat frowned upon. But for the most part, you know, that's what you wanted to do. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we've got Brian and Joliet. How are you doing, Brian?
Well, there was a second search that summer. Nothing was found. And to this day...
All right, so I don't know what Brian is listening to, but apparently it's not me. All right, well, I'll share. We'll talk to Debbie in Raleigh. How's it going, Debbie?
It's going okay. I was thinking and laughing at the same time, but when you were talking about call letters that might be banned, I was thinking about WSB.
Yeah.
For the,
yeah, you know, right. And of
the
course,
abbreviation of the...
Sure, but of course, Cox for years, welcome south, brother, WSB. So, yeah.
But I don't know a lot about the websites, but I've heard Grads of Life and ZipRecruiter advertised as far as jobs, and
some
to me, they seem to
they're aggregators. They're just aggregators. They'll post a lot of listings where they found from a variety of places. Some of them may not be current. Some of them may not actually be jobs. You know, but you can find something good as well. But they're aggregators. So for everything that you find might be worthwhile, probably 2/3 of it, forget about it.
Okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to share with people is last year I took out something called a home equity agreement, and it sounds good at first.
Well,
you get the,
well.
Yeah, I know. Here we go.
Yeah.
Read the fine print. But the catch was you have to repay it for 10 years, and then you pay the interest and whatever. You don't owe anything till that 10 years is up. And the aggravating thing was it didn't show up on the credit report, But when the guy did a title search, he said, well, guess what? We can't do the first mortgage without paying off the second. And the second one wouldn't agree to let the first proceed without them being paid off.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's put me in a bind. And I told somebody, I said, well, I guess my theme song is going to be the Brooke Benton song, Looking for a Home. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you, home equity is a number of products. It's not just one product. So depending on what the agreement is, it can work in a variety of ways. And but if you were in a thing where after 10 years you were on the hook to make payments, and now you're saying, well, I'd like to refi, and you can't, yeah, that puts you in a
bad spot. Yeah, I can't, because they can't get the interest rate low enough to clear up all the, you know, the two credit cards, et cetera. And my primary mortgage holder is, you know, well, they claim to be number one, but in my book,
well,
they could go to the moon for all I care.
Right, right. But the primary lender, is, it doesn't matter whether they're number one or number 20. The bottom line is the primary lender is the first mortgage that gets paid first in the event of any issues. And so that's just the way that is. So when you're dealing with home equity, most people who do home equity don't have any mortgages involved. And very often it's a lifetime thing, where bottom line is you can live in your house for the rest of your life and we're going to give you some money. But when you die, it's ours. You know, that agreement is probably the most common of all of them. But
Well, I learned a valuable lesson. Yeah. I helped a friend pay off her vehicle, and then lo and behold, you know,
well,
I'm stuck now.
Well, and I'll tell you, it. When you talk about having to do something after a period of time, that's not quite removed too far from the old balloon payments that put a lot of people
right.
in
yeah.
big trouble. Because the
yeah.
problem with a balloon payment, yeah, you may or may not know how well you're going to do 5 or 10 years down the road, but you really don't know where the interest rates are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road. And of course, the amount that you pay for the month, which of course is factored by the interest rate, that's all that matters. And so if you took a loan out and 5 years later the interest is a lot higher, you're going to be out of your house.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it'll all, something will work out, mm-hmm. you know. But I just wanted people to really be cautious when they do things like that to make sure that they don't find themselves.
Yeah. Read the fine print. Yeah, absolutely. And or the not so fine
yeah, because
print.
Because I would never have done it if I'd known that.
Yeah, and so here you are. I don't like all the people who advertise that they'll get you out of debt and all that kind of stuff. Maybe some are good, I don't know. But if you can find somebody, and I don't know how you do this, either through a group where you are or a church or whatever, if you could find somebody who deals with refi, maybe who could look at it and take a look at if there's a way to extract you from trouble, because there may be.
I'm a dreamer.
there absolutely may be.
You know, I'm one of these optimistic whatevers that, you know, will try to the last, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it, you know, basically you're borrowing money against future home equity, but it's, you know, there, again, there's probably more than a dozen ways that can shape up. But, you know, if you can find somebody, of course, whatever they suggest, independently read all the fine print before you do anything, no matter what. But it may help to have somebody who can at least look at it and maybe come up with some options.
Yeah, you never know.
No.
But anyway, I thought I'd warn people
yes.
about that fiasco.
Anytime it sounds too good to be true, it is. Good luck, Debbie.
I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Voice.
All right. Good deal.
Sure.
So we'll get to Jim. We'll get to Cindy. We'll get to you on WGN Radio.
This is our chance for love.
I'm Raleigh James. I've got a cable that has to shorten it, and every now and then the only answer is just hit it. Yeah, but one of these days I'll have the time to route it down and figure out which one is doing what to whatever. But 888-876-5593. Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin. What's going on, Jim?
I'd like to apologize for not being there when you went to me on Thursday night.
Oh, that's fine.
The caller before me answered all my questions.
Good.
And except that he didn't mention Barney Pip.
Gonna turn you into peanut butter. I miss Barney Pip.
Right. I love him. And then John Records Landecker with his turn into everybody to peanut. Boogie Check.
Well, you know, John Records Landecker is on WGN before me, Monday through Thursday.
Yes, I know. I hear him. What I'm calling about is I'm going through healthcare situation. In 45 years ago, I was at 25 years old. I was diagnosed with diabetes and immediately became type 1.
Okay.
And I went through everything. Okay. I had lost all my teeth.
Oh, God.
I had cataract surgery.
Yeah.
And I had triple bypass surgery as it went along, and which is all the same things that my mother and my father had.
Right. How are your kidneys?
My kidneys are fine.
Good. That's what
is understanding. But now I am going through, I have only 10% of my vision in my right eye, and in my left eye, I have diabetic retinopathy, macular edema.
Okay.
No, edema.
Okay.
And I have glaucoma.
Yeah.
And I've gone through many sessions, 5 sessions in each eye of diabetic retinopathy with a total of 750 laser in each eye. And I've gone to the specialist in Milwaukee's Friedert Eye Institute, and I went to the doctor there. Oh, you have to have a stent put in your eye. And then I went to them, and then I went to all the, had the surgery, and then I went through all that. And then they turned around and said, oh, I'm not going to be available for 6 months because I'm leaving the country.
Oh, my God.
So then now I went back to my other retina specialist.
Right.
And I get a shot of Eylea once a month.
Right.
And then the following month, I get a shot of Kenalog.
Okay.
And then finally, I said to him 2 days ago, I was there. No, yesterday I was there. And I said to him, how much time do I have? And he goes, what are you talking about?
Ugh.
I said, because my vision is so poor that I have to, when I read, I have to take my iPhone and use the magnifier at total magnification in order to read any mail I get.
Right.
And he said, oh, no, you're fine. We'll give you a shot we'll alternate shots every time, you know. And it's so frustrating because I've gone through so much. Became diagnosed 45 years ago, we used to have to pee on a strip see what your...
Right, and the ketosis and all that, of course.
Right.
This is terrible because I have less than a minute of time, and this is more than a minute discussion. So can you call me back on Tuesday and call me earlier?
Oh, I would love to.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to hearing from you. All right, so apologies to Chris and to Cindy. We didn't get to you. Tonight went fast. Of course, we only had an hour and a half show, something I didn't realize. But in the meantime, Monday Night Trivia, full show, 3 hours. Tomorrow, a replay of Monday Night Trivia. I don't remember if there's a straggler or not. So I guess you'll just have to listen. And we'll reconvene on Monday. Until then, we thank everybody for keeping us on the air. I don't even know who was involved tonight, but I'm sure they all did a marvelous job because you're hearing me. We thank John for keeping you in line, answering your phone calls. But most of all, I thank you for calling. It makes all the difference. So until Monday night, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.